Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The Burt Show.
It is a bold decision to take your kids out of public school and decide, all right, I got this. I got this. To homeschool your kids, you know. You better know what you're doing, right?
There are some definite homeschooling advocates, though. Remember when producer Tracy told us not too long ago she was with her baby at Target and somebody approached her asking her if she was going to homeschool her kids, and we sort of found out. Bert, I think you were out at that point.
I was,
but,
yeah.
But we found out that there was like some cult.
There's like a cult of recruiters. So Tracy's got
recruiters, exactly.
A nine-month-old, and the woman comes up and says, oh, your baby's so beautiful. And Tracy goes, oh, thank you so much. And how old is she? And, you know. Tracy answers. She goes, that's great. You know, it's congratulations. I have such a beautiful baby. So you're going to homeschool? And the whole,
I mean, random.
Pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And Tracy's like, I really am not even sure when she's going to get out of diapers. So we're working on Dada.
I have found that there.
So I guess that's homeschooling because we spend a lot of time.
Well,
going,
I'm sure the homeschooler person would say, look, if you were homeschooling her right now, she would have a bigger vocabulary than just da-da.
Right.
I mean, that is a bold statement to say, I got this. You know, I can read the books and I can teach just as well as somebody that has certified and has studied for this. So you really better know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
So Danielle here has made that bold decision. She has decided that she is going to homeschool her kids, but I don't think she's filled her husband in on it yet. Hey, Danielle.
Hi.
Good morning. You're on The Voice Disguiser, or nobody can recognize your voice.
Oh, great. Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Good. All right. Give us some history here. Your kids are how old?
Well, I've got two kids, one going into fourth and one going into fifth.
Okay.
And basically, they've been coming home with report cards that have pretty much all C's all the time. They occasionally get a B here and there, but there has never been an A.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just basically kind of had it with, I mean, if the process continues this way, there's not going to be a good college in their future. They're not going to get a scholarship. And I'm just really frustrated with the school system.
So you're putting the grades on the school system and not your kids?
Right.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your kids, because you obviously think they're A students.
That's funny.
Well, I think they might be. I mean, they may need a little more nudging, and I just feel like I can give them the A's because I will be grading their stuff, and they'll get into a good college that way.
Oh,
have you looked into, like, I don't know how many kids are in a class, so have you looked to see if any other kids are getting A's?
That's kind of my question, and I mean, I don't know. I don't know a lot of the other parents. I know a few. Some of them are getting A's, yes.
So the school is giving. So they're not currently in a school that's refusing to give out high grades.
I think it's probably harder, but
you're kidding me.
To get an A than
you're
it is like
me,
a B or a C.
Right?
Yeah. I'd say that's accurate.
Typically, it's the case.
You probably got to do your work and whatnot to get the A's
or homework. Maybe we could talk to a homeschooling parent, but kids that are in the school system are subject to testing. To make sure that they can make it to the next level. And then, you know, in high school, there's like a graduation test you have to pass. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to take SATs and those kind of things, ACTs and stuff to get into college. So even if you're just giving your kids A's along the way, they still are going to have to take those standardized tests to get to the next level and then to eventually get into college, which is your goal.
Right, it is. But I can have them redo it as many times as I need them to get that A.
So take the same test over and over and over again?
Right.
I don't know. I wonder if homeschoolers would be,
you know,
would
what?
Say that you can do that.
I bet you could do it for them. I mean, just thinking now.
I'm not so sure she'd do great.
I don't know.
Or somebody could.
Right.
Like, I'm
maybe
just
a neighbor.
Thinking,
wow. Or someone.
I'll be right there.
1-877-588-BERT. 1-877-588-BERT, BERT, or 1-877-588-2378 is the phone number.
Why not just sit down with your kids and help them with their homework?
Well,
help them with school.
That's my plan. I mean, this weekend, I've got to tell my husband, by the way, our kids aren't going back to school in the fall. I'm going to homeschool them. And he has the college education. I don't. So I'm going to need his help.
Lord.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Well, we got a lot of ground to cover here. Boy, oh, wow. I don't think you're going to be going anywhere for a while. Here is Gwen. Good morning. You are on The Burt Show.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a graduate of Homeschoolers, and I graduated from college with my RN BSN. And, you know, it worked for me, but there are some cases where it does work better than other places.
What do you think about our caller now? You know, what about her? Is it going to work for her kids?
It all depends. Like, my grandmother homeschooled me, and she didn't even graduate college. But we did a certain curriculum. We stuck to the curriculum, and if I needed help, I could call where the curriculum came from.
Did you have to take standardized tests like other students?
I did not have to, but she made me take the California Achievement Test, and each year I scored 2 grades higher than what my other companions were in public school.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. What are you laughing about, Melissa?
I'm just laughing. Is there ever a homeschooled kid that doesn't sound like they're, you know, I don't know. What's
you think
the,
there's
what's
a,
the word?
You think you're at a social disadvantage if you're homeschooled.
Well, no. I think
you're at a lot more disadvantages than just social, but that's I am vehemently against homeschooling.
Your mom's a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and she's a principal now, and I just think it's an insult to education people everywhere that you think as a parent you know how to do that all the way through.
There's a current tie-in here also.
Yes, definitely.
That's like Bert nudging his way into an operating room. Out of the way, Sanjay.
I got this. I've played Operation. This.
Yeah. Excuse me. You know what? Actually, step aside, Sanjay. I had knee surgery once.
What? Plenty of people want to talk to you about this, and I think, Danielle, at the end of the day, they're going to try to talk you out of this.
No, I'm not. I think it's beautiful. I would actually like to follow your kids for the next 8 years. No, I'd like to follow your kids for the rest of their lives.
The Burt Show.
If you're just hanging out with The Burt Show this morning, we're spending some time with Danielle. This is what she told us a couple of minutes ago.
I've got 2 kids, one going into 4th and one going into 5th.
Okay.
And basically, they've been coming home with report cards that have pretty much all C's all the time. They occasionally get a B here and there, but there has never been an A. And I've just basically kind of had it. I mean, if the process continues this way, there's not going to be a good college in their future. They're not going to get a scholarship. Mm. I'm just really frustrated with the school system.
Right. And the subtext to that also is that she hasn't run this by her husband yet.
Right. She has to tell him this weekend, right?
Is that what you're planning on doing, telling him this weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that's what I'm going to do. I also just want to kind of point out really quick that the last caller said that she didn't have to take the tests.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so, I heard her say that.
But who says your kids aren't going to get good grades by you teaching them?
She's going to give them the A's.
Oh, you're just going to
force it. Yeah, she's going to give them the A's.
Oh, you're just going to force it.
She's in charge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So hypothetically, if your kid's not doing well in one subject, you may just give her or him the A just so the GPA is up there?
Right. I mean, we'll work on it, obviously, but
wow.
I'm the first one to see it, so I can pretty much do whatever I want.
It should be. Grades should be based on effort and not actual aptitude. Think about it. Like, in the real world, like, who would you rather have flying your plane? The really, really skilled, talented guy
who knows all the answers,
but doesn't have to try, or the guy who just can't get it, but every single day wakes up in the morning
in the
and
cockpit.
Says, "Today I'm going to do it."
That's right.
Effort goes a long way.
Sure. It
goes a really long way.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound about accurate, Danielle?
Well, I think the main thing is that we're going to focus on the things that they do well, and, you know, and that's going to be really easy. And the other things, I'm just going to...
They're
going to
just be stupid. You know,
but I'll guide them and get them to the grade that I need them to get so that they can eventually get into the school and practice what they are talented at.
Okay, and you don't see the flaw in that?
Not really.
You know what I was really good at in school, and I would have gotten A's in it all the time?
Yeah.
Dodgeball.
Oh. If you can dodge your wrench, you can dodge your ball.
Like, if you can focus, let's all focus. If we all went back into high school and focused, and we were able to go back into high school and focus only on what we were good on, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would everybody's talent be? Like, if you were in homeschool and you were focused only on what you were good at, because I would be a professional dodgeball player.
I drank and smoked a lot of pot.
Cheerleading.
I'm not going to lie.
I have no idea. I could have been professional.
Professional cheerleader.
If you're just hanging out, we got Danielle here. Phone lines are lit up. She wants to homeschool her 4th and 5th grader. Not a problem there. Problem is that she's basically saying that the schools have never given their kids an A. They get B's and C's. She wants to be able to teach them and give them the A's so it looks better on their transcript. And also, she hasn't told her husband about any of this. Hey, Lewis, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Morning. How are you?
Okay, how are you? You seem... Let me get to my point.
Oh, my goodness. My blood pressure is high right now. My comment is toward Jen, but let me preface this by saying that as a homeschooler, me and my wife homeschool 8 kids. Mm-hmm. And as a homeschooler, I can say unequivocally that this woman is in the completely wrong mindset to homeschool her kids. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, Jen said that homeschooling is an insult to public schoolers.
It's an insult to educators that parents believe that they can teach better than somebody who's gone to get their degree in education.
Okay, well, we've got thousands and thousands of teachers in the public school system that all have their degrees, correct?
Yeah.
And why are we turning out such miserable failures? I mean, public education system is horrendous. I mean, we rank very low in the world in academic achievement despite being one of the highest spenders.
I think public
education's a mess.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I think what it is I think that our education system doesn't focus on what the kids are good at.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, we have a lot of kids who are really good at reality TV and The Hills and stuff and focus on that. Like in India.
Because when they're home, that's what they get to do,
right,
is watch all that.
Kids in India are really good at math and science. So they focus on that. You know what I mean? In China, too.
Uh-huh.
Like Indian kids and Chinese kids are really like math and science smart. So they focus on that. And that's why anybody who's Indian is good at math,
because
that's how they focus on it. Here, we're good at snack foods, like that KFC sandwich that's made with 2 pieces of fried chicken. That's what we're good at, and we should be focusing
on
that.
Someone invented that.
Mm-hmm.
We're good at calories.
I bet it was an American that invented that.
Oh, absolutely. Fast food restaurants. Americans invented that.
Damn right.
You should be damn proud of that.
God bless the USA.
That's right.
Yeah. What is that? You want to travel to another solar system? I want to make a deep-fried sandwich.
Yum.
Get out of my way.
Hey, Lauren, good morning. You're on the Burt Show. You have some advice for Danielle.
I do. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
Basically, I think the problem is the parents. Like, her whole motivation behind homeschooling her children is to make them make good grades. But obviously, she's not helping them to make good grades right now. And like the other mm-hmm. caller said, you know, the school system's failing, but it's not the school system failing, it's parents failing.
Yeah.
You
do have to spend some extra time with your kids after they get home from school.
Which is a really great question. How long do you spend with your kids on homework now while they were in the public system?
Probably a half an hour,
Half an hour. Good for you.
And I have to make them... We do all sit down at the table and eat together every night, and I think I deserve some credit for that. But that takes a lot of work. I mean, not a lot of families do that anymore, and I do.
Are you kidding me?
Are you totally 100% serious right now?
Yes.
You've spent 30 minutes a night with your kids on homework, 2 kids, 30 minutes total every night, and you think you're just going to pluck them out of the public system and be able to teach them better than the teachers they currently have?
Well, she doesn't care about teaching them better than the teachers they currently have. She just wants to allow them to sort of skate through and get A's.
Don't care.
Like, that's not her intention.
Those are
know?
Harsh words. She's refocusing
that's why
her children.
That first caller could have been irritated with me to disagree with homeschooling and disagree with her. Because he wanted to homeschool his kids to give them a better education, which I understand the intention there. I still don't agree with it, but I understand his motives were in the right place in order to do that.
Danielle, do you recall how you did in high school?
I got B's, mostly.
So you didn't get a lot of A's either?
Well, she didn't go to college.
No. And was that based on the school system? Because your logic when you first called us was that the schools mm-hmm. were too hard on your children. So were the schools too hard on you, too, when you were in high school?
I felt overwhelmed constantly, yes.
So your curriculum with your kids will not overwhelm them?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I think we got to check back with you on Monday morning and find out how the conversation. Yeah, often.
Often. But I think we need to spend a lot of time with you. You and we're all BFFs.
I can't get to all the calls, so I'm sure you'll get more on Monday. But we got to find out how the conversation goes with your husband.
Yeah,
when
I have
you tell
no idea
him.
How it's going to go. We've never even mentioned homeschooling before. It's always just been assumed that our kids are going to public school, and that's the way. That it is.
Have you even ever expressed or had a conversation together that you were both frustrated that your kids weren't getting any A's? Has that even come up in conversation, or is this going to come out of completely left field?
No, we've looked at the report cards together, of course, and been disappointed in the results.
Out of curiosity, how much time does your husband spend with your kids on homework?
Homework. He'll answer questions when they have them, but doesn't take the time to sit down and
sporadic.
All right.
Does your husband consider you?
Wow, I wonder why they get C's and B's.
Does your husband consider you smart?
I would hope so.
Do you think this is a smart decision?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
Would you be offended if your husband said that he doesn't want you homeschooling your kids? Would that offend you?
I'd like to find out why.
I could offer a suggestion, but I'd rather hear what he says.
We'll play this back for you.
Yeah.
Good luck with this conversation with your husband.
Thank you.
We heart you.
She can't be real.
It sure sounded fine.
Wow. I have a feeling her husband's going to have a different plan once she brings it up to him.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
The Burt Show. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Burt Show.
It has been years now that Andy has been coming in here with ghost hunters, and he's been playing audio of actual ghosts that they get in the area. And there are some days that he comes in here and the audio is real tough to make out. Like, you can't really understand it until he tells us what the ghost says. Then we listen back.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, yeah, I hear that now. Help me. Yeah.
You have to sort of explain what the audio is. You're talking about the EVPs, right?
Sure. Yeah, we are the, you know, we're a group. We go out to places where people have claims of haunted activity and, you know, things that they talk about. We try and come up with logical explanations for. And the one thing that we really cannot really grasp are these voices that we're catching. It's known as an electronic voice phenomenon, or an EVP. And these things occur on our recording devices that you don't really hear at the time. Now, there are very rare occasions when you actually hear these things. You'll hear the voices at the time, but that is extremely rare. They embed themselves onto the voice recorders. It's the most mind-boggling thing I've ever experienced. And we've caught probably coming up on 1,000 of these things over the years that we've been doing these things. So they're definitely out there. They're definitely intelligent. Sometimes they are very unclear of what is being said. But to me, it's not necessarily what's important that what's being said is that something is being said. You know, mm-hmm. We can debate all day about what is it saying, but the fact that something is being said is pretty remarkable.
And we've got a whole bunch of new listeners here, so they don't know the history. So just very briefly, like, you were a skeptic of this whole thing before you started this company, which we'll talk about, and also the fact that you don't make any cash off of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm still a skeptic. You know, everything that happens when we're on investigation, although you want it to be paranormal, does not necessarily mean that it's paranormal. When you get taps on the walls, things like that, could be the house settling, you know, doors that might close, might just be a draft in the house. So we try and explain away everything that we possibly can, especially video, pictures. So many things can go wrong during those things. So I mainly focus on the voices. The electronic voice phenomenon is absolutely clear. I am not a skeptic that there is something out there. I can't tell you if they're ghosts of dead people. I don't know if they're angels, demons, spirits. I don't know what they are. But whatever this anomaly is, it is absolutely real. And I have zero doubt in my mind that it is absolutely real. I've experienced some very wild things over the years of doing this. I've experienced haunted activity in my own personal life for over 20 years, but since I've been investigating, I've experienced some wild things, but nothing compares to what happened on the night of this investigation. It was something
really?
Let's get into this.
By far,
what?
It was one of the most remarkable nights of my life, and it's very, very close to me, but the entire night feels like a dream. It doesn't even feel like it really happened, other than the other three people that were there that night can vouch for everything that I'm about to say that happened that night. I don't care if people believe me or not. You know, like I said, there were three other people with me in the house that night, and all three of those people, in addition to myself, know exactly what happened, and there is no way in hell that anybody that was sitting there in that room, one of the physical people, could have done the things that took place that night.
Now, and you normally don't get shook on these hunts, right? But this one, I mean, things were flying around.
Yeah, lots of things were flying around. I was
no way.
What?
Yes, it was a very much a poltergeist night. This was physical activity on a scale
Andy,
that I've never.
Andy, come into the light. Andy, come into the light.
I've changed my name to Carol Ann now. So. But yeah, this story is very, very close to me. And at first, I really didn't even want to take the case because it was so close. One of my very good friends passed away almost a year ago to the day in an accident up in the North Georgia Mountains. And, you know, it was tragic. He's got a daughter, wife. You know, his entire family had to deal with that, plus all of his friends. And one thing that I realized out of this is you don't necessarily know how many people's lives you touch until after you die. And the people's lives that he touched was absolutely amazing. And based on what happened that night, he is still with us here. I don't have any doubt that he's still affecting people's lives. He affected my life, you know, close to a year after he passed away with what happened this night.
What's the connection, and why didn't you want to take the case?
He was basically my best friend growing up through high school. He was kind of that person that we're just trouble together. You know, we didn't need to be together all the time because we would always get in trouble if we stayed together. So, you know, kind of after high school, we kind of separated, you know, all through high school, best friends, got into all the trouble together, all the crazy things you do in high school together. He was that person that I did it with. When I had to grow up and get out of, you know, being a stupid teenager, we had to separate. Otherwise, we would have continued to get in trouble. Kind of, you know, over the years, just kind of drifted apart and then ran into him at a Quick Trip gas station one day, kind of reconnected that point. We talked about he wanted to go on a ghost hunt real bad, and we just kind of started reconnecting right before he passed away.
And this is how long ago now?
It's almost a year ago.
Okay.
And how did he pass?
In a four-wheeler accident.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. So very sudden, not expected by anybody. You know, turn a weekend out into something that you know completely changed everybody's lives. But everything does happen for a reason. You know, it's very difficult to look at it even still to this day. For his wife and his daughter to try and deal with all this, but it, you know, it's how you deal with the things that you handle in your life is what makes you who you are. So Melissa's done an amazing job, and hopefully we'll have her on air to talk about kind of how it made her feel. One thing that I hope we can get out of this is if there's other people that are out there that have recently lost loved ones. The comfort that she got out of this investigation and knowing that he's still there and knowing that he's able to see his daughter grow up really gave her a great bit of comfort, knowing that he's still, you know, it changed her house back into a home again, knowing that he's still there.
What's his name?
His name is Matt.
Matt. Okay, Matt's wife is Melissa.
Yes.
And she's on the phone with us right now, actually.
Yes.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey,
how are you?
Good morning.
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. What made you call Andy in the first place? Like, what was going on around the house?
There was nothing going on around the house. It was really funny because I was listening to Andy talk. And Matt was always like, oh, let's go do a ghost hunt. And I'm like, no, I don't do ghosts. I don't mean ghosts. You know, I run the opposite way. I'm not trying to find ghosts or anything like that. And I don't want to ghost hunting shows, and I would never watch them with him. And after the accident, I'm, like, really interested in, like, okay, so what's going on? Like, I kind of what Andy was saying, I was thinking, you just reach out for something to, okay, I want to know that he's still here, that he can see Ella, that he can see me, that he, you know, just all these things that you start thinking about in your life. And I knew Andy through Matt. I didn't know Andy before this investigation. And so I sent him something on Facebook one day, and I was like, you know, hey, I had a picture or something from the funeral that had like an orb in it, and I was like, I know you're a ghost hunter, you want to check out this picture. And from there we just started talking, and we really didn't set the investigation as an investigation. It was kind of just like, we're gonna come do this for fun. I didn't have anything going at the house. It wasn't anything that we thought we were laughing about. It, we were like, we're probably gonna get nothing, but it'll be fun just to hang out and see what we find. And we didn't do it as an intentional basis of trying to, like, really thinking we'd come up with anything.
So there, the most times when you come in here, people call you and they say, I've seen freaky activity in the house. So you know going into that home that there's probably something going to happen. But it sounds like in this case, you were almost like the expectation was set so low.
Well, didn't Ella, didn't she come up with some stories about the accident that she had not been told of?
Yeah, well, you know, I will say that after the accident, you know, my daughter, she would tell me things because I was always felt like right after the accident. I mean, you know, most people when they're like, okay, when you die, you go to heaven, and so I'm like, okay, well, you don't really think about heaven until after somebody passes away that's really close to you. You're like, okay, so can they still see us? Is he still here with us and is present? Can he like see this and see that? And so that's the kind of concerns I had. So when she would come back to me and tell me things that I felt like she shouldn't know, or she would say things like he was still there with her, like she would talk to him and stuff, and, you know, she would never say anything about where's he at. Like, she almost kind of knew that, she just kind of knew what happened, and I never told her anything. I
mean, how old is she?
She was 3 at the time.
3.
We've heard this a lot on the show, that when you're that young, that kids can see that kind of stuff that adults just can't see.
And I'll say this, I'm not a skeptic. I totally believe all that stuff exists, and that's why I was like, I'm running the opposite way if I see a ghost, because I believe in all that stuff, like, you know, spirits, and I know all that stuff exists, but I've never been interested in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't want to know about it, you know? And so I totally believed her when she would say things, you know. I totally believed her. And that's when I got more interested in it. Like, okay, now it became personal to me. You know?
Okay. All right, so let's do this in two parts here. So now we know the story, the personal connection. We know that you're going to go into the house and you're really not expecting a whole bunch. And then you go in there, and there's a lot to cover here.
Wow. We got a lot more than we bargained for.
A lot to cover. Now, remember, his friend's name is Matt. And one of the pieces of audio we're going to play for you says Matt's home.
Okay. Creepy.
Yeah, ooh, really creepy. I mean, and really, really pretty clear stuff here.
The Bert Show.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
The Bert Show.
And before we go on, producer Carl here wants to know, he's not down with any of this ghost stuff that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I believe it. You know, I know it's out there. But just kind of like, I'm a big believer in the old cliche, look and you shall see, right? You shall find, or whatever it says. But I think
seek
that...
Seek and you shall find?
Something like that. But I just think that when you
such
invite...
Such a philosopher.
Right, you know. But I just think that when you're looking for those spirits and things that's out there, then that you invite them to your world, you know?
Are you superstitious, Carl?
Very.
That's why, Carl, we did we did the broadcast from the haunted place last year on Halloween.
Uh-huh.
And we had wanted to do that for like 5 years, but Bert wouldn't because he was convinced they were going to follow him home.
Yeah, and I was.
Oh, I didn't know you felt like that either.
I was scared about it, but I'm not anymore. But I was, yeah. I didn't want to do it.
You know
and
what they
I got
told
kids
us there?
And stuff.
You know what they told us there?
What's that?
Carl, they said in the EVP, they said, tell them we're not dead. That was
really?
One of the things they
yeah.
said.
No I'm kidding,
I missed
dude.
That one. Now, let me ask you real quick. Mm-hmm. Since you've been there, since you've invited those ghosts to your home,
yeah.
into your world,
mm-hmm.
has there been more stuff going on with you that you recognize?
No. Well, I did have that freaky thing that happened with the television. Remember I was telling you guys?
TV just, turning on randomly?
Yeah. TV
was
turning
that
on.
Was that after that or before that?
No, this was just a couple of weeks ago. Remember I sat at my computer in the morning. It's like 4:15, 4:30 in the morning, and I'm prepping the show here, and all of a sudden the TV goes on. TV goes off.
Hi, this is Little Flower, and I remind Hubert that you are an endorser of Comcast, so I'm going to turn on your TV. This is Little Flower, and
we had
here
a psychic.
Comes the Indian.
A supposed finger quote psychic.
Yeah, that came in and did one of those readings for us, and she turned it
was
about,
a seance.
It was a seance. That's yeah. right.
Oh,
about 9 different personalities. No, dude, you don't.
See,
have
and I didn't. I wouldn't go in that one. I wouldn't go in that one. When I walked in, they were all laughing. I thought, oh well.
Yeah, wow. Y'all wild bunch.
Hi, this is Little Flower, and my prediction for you is you should not hire a psychic off Craigslist because they are
feels
terrible.
Like that we are bringing the karma to him.
them just by osmosis, just by y'all being in the room with us.
I'm out of here. I'm back to Studio B.
will you even listen? Will you even listen to it?
Now, I'll listen, but because I, you know,
from another room
is there, but no, I'm not in here. I'm not going on any ghost rides and hunts and all that stuff, you know. I'm in my world. They let them stay in their world.
Ghost got a family plan also. You may pick up the phone. It's a ghost. You're answering calls.
Hey, man. No, 70 years, I talked to him.
He's in there burning candles, saying prayers.
Right?
He's got every holy book that they can find stacked up with his hands on every one of them.
He's throwing incense and water at the phone.
So, I mean, if you believe, then this audio we're going to play for you here in a couple of seconds is really going to freak you out.
It's definitely some of the best audio we've ever captured. Absolutely. And it very much did start off like Melissa was saying, let's just see what we get. We didn't set up the video equipment. We just went in with some recorders, played around with it, see what we would get. We started the night off. It was...
Let me just reset it here for just 1 second. So Andy's here from Atlanta Ghost Hunters. And a couple of minutes ago, he was telling this really personal story he has that is based on the following audio we're going to play for you. That he and a high school friend used to hang out with each other all the time. They lost contact with each other. The dude's name is Matt. He was killed in an ATV accident. And what Andy does here is he goes and he sets up equipment in different homes to try to find voices of ghosts. So he was contacted by Matt's wife, Melissa, who's on the phone with us right now. And the stuff that he found in that house was really, really, really freaky. He wasn't expecting it, but he's going to detail for you stuff that was flying around the home. And the audio he's brought in for us this morning is crystal clear. So we'll get to that in just 1 second. Matt's cousin, Jennifer, has called into the show. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
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 Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey. I know. Melissa and I actually never met. We're friends on Facebook until the funeral. Matt and I had really lost touch as we grew up. I'm closer to age with his sister, Haley, but he always, you know, loved us when we were playing as kids and played tricks on us and took toys and did the big brother thing. But I usually not listening at this time because I have my daughter in the car, so I just thought it was, I don't know, pretty insane. I heard, just as soon as I turned on the radio, that's what was on. Before I even got into the details, I was like, oh my gosh, I think he's talking about Matt.
Yeah, this is probably going to be emotional for you here over the next couple of minutes.
I think so, and it has to be at work, so I'm like, right. But I wanted to call in and just say, you know, I don't know. I can't even think now. It's just unbelievable. I'm glad you got to connect with him again, Melissa.
Well, can I say something?
Sure.
Because when we started this, and whoever Carl is, I don't know who Carl is, but I heard Carl, and I totally agreed with Carl. Like, I'm of this frame of mind, like, and Andy would tell you this, because when stuff was going on at the house, I was like, oh my God, I was totally like, this is so crazy. I had never expecting like that. And then we started playing the voices for me. I was like, oh, okay, I've opened the portal to hell in my home, and all these demons and spirits are coming. So it kind of freaked me out. And I think that when you do that, like, I agree with him. Like, I think that, you know, I'm not saying, you know, that it was just Matt here. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not that naive. I think that there were other, and obviously from the tapes, there was a lot of other voices. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, let's hear.
I want to make that clear. And then after, you know, all that happened, I did have my house, like, cleansed, you know, and, like, purified, because I'm like that, too. Like, I think if you invite spirits to come in, you open yourself up, then you are opening yourself up for a lot more activity.
Okay, well, let's hear what you got.
Yeah.
Now. Okay. Well, the night began. Myself and a friend went up to the gravesite and just kind of sat down. We talked to Matt and said, "Look, you know, if you're here, we're going to be over at your house. We'd love to communicate with you. I'm sure Melissa would love to hear, you know, just a simple 'I love you,' just something, you know, to give her some sort of sign to let her know that you're still there." We started off the investigation, just kind of like most investigations. Normally, they're very quiet, asking a few questions. Honestly, most ghost hunts are very boring because the audio typically you don't get until after you go back and listen to what you recorded. I'd say maybe about 20, 30 minutes into it, Matt's brother-in-law, who was with Matt when he passed away, he kind of got comfortable enough to ask his first question. And as soon as he said his first question, there was a knock right behind his head. And we were like, okay, Matt, you know, if that was you, give us another sign to let us know that you're here. And out of the blue, we just heard something bang in their family room. Just, we heard a very loud bang. Oh. So we turned the light on, trying to find out what this noise was. And right on, up against their wall, they've got a very long bookcase. And a yellow crayon had flown across the room and had snapped. And when it hit the bookcase, so we, you know, turned the lights on. We're going, holy crap. She had just cleaned the house. She knows that crayon was not there. You know, if that had been the only thing that had happened, I still would have been thrilled. You know, an object flying in the room, completely awesome, you know, flipping out. So we you know, we kind of got our nerves back together, turned the lights off. That was in, they kind of have two family rooms. So that was in one family room, went into another family room. We were sitting there and, out of the blue, we're sitting on their sofa and love seat. And again, there's a total of four of us in the room. A battery, a AA battery, just drops out of nowhere and rolls about 6 feet. And it's rolling towards us. So there's no way that any of us could have possibly done this to make a battery drop and roll directly towards where we are.
Where did it drop from? Was it,
we have no idea. Have absolutely no idea where this thing came from. So at this point, we've got the crayon. We've got a battery. Now, if you want to play the clip, it's labeled battery. You'll hear how long this... it's 5'8".
Gotcha.
How far this battery rolls. And then you'll hear us you know, at this point completely wigging out.
Do you know everything that goes on in the house on a day-to-day basis?
That was weird.
Alright, so we're gonna play a little trick here.
So that sound at the end there?
That sound was the battery rolling. Now, I apologize, that clip was so long. What I was about to say, I was saying I want to play a little trick here, and I was going to knock, you know, three times, please repeat the knocks that I do. And as soon as I say I want to play a little trick here, boom, the battery drops. And you can hear, I hate that I didn't isolate it a little bit more, but that battery rolls at least a good 6 or 7 feet and stops on the baseboard, which, again, is heading directly towards us. So there's the only way we were able to repeat this is kind of do like a bowling move with this thing. You know, you kind of have to underhand it and roll it across the floor for it to not spin out of control and have a perfectly placed battery where it wound up landing. So again, we've got the crayon, we've got the battery. We're kind of flipping out at this point, trying to figure out what's going on. So leading into the next one, we were leaving that family room and we heard a coin drop. I mean, it was a distinct noise. It's got hardwood floors. It was the distinct sound of a coin drop. So we all start scouring the floor to see where this coin came from, and directly in front of one of the bedroom doors in his room, in his house, there was a penny sitting heads up in the perfect center of the threshold of this door. I think it was the playroom to Ella's room, if I'm not mistaken. So we're all kind of freaking out. You'll hear at the beginning of this clip, all of us are talking really, really loud because we're very excited about all the stuff that's going on. And we're basically saying, you know, what else can you do? And Melissa's kind of saying, what else do you want him to do? You know, he's already done this stuff. And then the right in the center of this, there's a pause of kind of us getting our breath. A voice clearly responds, why the hell not?
Whoa!
No!
Wow! Okay, now that's not somebody in the room.
Absolutely
with you again.
Not. Absolutely not. You can hear we're screaming. I mean, when we're talking, our voices are so high because of the inner, you know, how much excitement we had. It was impossible. Normally, I try and keep my voice, you know, pretty levelized. That way, we can, you know, hear what we're talking about. We were so excited. We weren't even really even keeping in the mind that we were recording at this point. So what? Again, what was being said is, you know, what else can you do? Melissa's saying, what else do you need him to do? And right in the middle of it is when we caught that, why the hell not?
You've got, does that sound like his voice?
That's where Melissa and I, you know, definitely agree. It does not sound like his voice.
It does not.
I don't know if you, you know, if this is him, I don't know if you take your same voice box and all that stuff, if you still have the same voice after you pass away.
You know, this is creepy.
I told you, man.
It gets better, though. There's still some really, really amazing audio that happened that night. But that one, absolutely clear, no doubt about it, clearly says why the hell not. It was not any of us that was in the room at the time. And again, it was talking about things, you know, what else can you do? You don't really need to because he's done so much already. But it wasn't over at that point. So at this point, we've got the crayon. We've got a battery. We've got the coin. All three of these things have happened. We go back into the family room, the first family room that we started in, and we kind of had some of Matt's personal items out on a coffee table. And one of those personal items was a tooth, a wisdom tooth that had been pulled. It was really just creepy looking because it still had the roots. You know, it just looked like a textbook science
sexy
book kind of tooth, and it was a little package, or a little Ziploc bag. And that had been moved off of the counter, off of the coffee table, about 5 or 6 feet off of the table, onto the floor. And I guarantee you, none of us were touching any of Matt's stuff. I mean, that stuff was there just to see, you know, if he wanted to make any presents known. But we were laughing all night long about this tooth and just kind of how creepy it was. But let me just preface, Matt was by far the coolest dude I've ever met in my entire life before he passed away. And from the things that we experienced, he's definitely the coolest dead person I've ever met. He's absolutely, by
all
far.
All the other ghosts were like, what?
Come on now.
He's amazing. If this truly was Matt, the things that happened this night were just out of this world. Now, I'll kind of get into a couple of the other EVPs that we caught. They don't necessarily know exactly because the time that the accident occurred, he was kind of 50 yards ahead of the person that was behind him on the other four-wheeler. So the accident happened without anybody seeing it. His brother-in-law came up on the accident after, you know, obviously it had happened at that point. But we did catch a very strange EVP that says, shh. Car involved.
Oh, I heard that.
Did you hear that whisper? Yes. Let me play it again here. So, it's clear as day, right?
Yeah,
there.
It is. So, you know, not necessarily saying that there was a car involved in this, but, you know, because we don't know the circumstances of what happened at the time of the accident, but that. Who knows? Are they trying to give us a hint? I don't know. But it definitely says, shh, car involved.
Wow.
Now, at this point, the next clip is pretty wild. Again, as we mentioned, his name is Matt. And this one, again, you'll hear us kind of off in the distance. The recorder's just sitting down. You hear off in the distance talking. And right up on the recorder, a voice says, Matt. And then there's a pause. And then it says, Matt's home. So again, you can hear us off in the distance.
Yeah, it's a totally separate voice from
absolutely
all of you.
Yeah, wow. There's no doubt about it. And like I said, the recorder's just sitting completely still, nobody there. And that very first Matt is right up on the recorder. I mean, you can just kind of hear the breath on the microphone itself.
Damn.
Wow.
All right, now this last clip that we'll play, absolutely wild. This does sound like something Matt would say, and again, it's just in a moment of silence, just clearly just a burst that says, what's up?
What's up?
What?
That's the one when I heard it, I thought, okay, this is fake. Yeah. I think this is Andy. He's jacking with us. There's no way. I mean, a ghost doesn't say what's up.
There's no way I would ever do that to Melissa. There's no way that I would put Melissa in a position of jacking with such an emotional event in her life. Mm-hmm. Plus, the things that occurred that night, Melissa knows that I'm not jacking with her. She absolutely knows that. And like I said, the things that happened that night, the last thing that happened at the very end of the investigation was a crayon in one of their family rooms literally just dropped out of the ceiling. So two crayons, a coin, the tooth, and the battery all moved. And this investigation didn't last even maybe 2 hours. So five physical things were thrown. There's so many more. We've got audio of all the batteries being dropped, the crayons being dropped, all that stuff. We'll put all those up on the website so everybody can hear every part of the investigation. It was an unbelievable night.
I mean, those are clear as day right there.
Oh, yeah.
And there are more that we just can't get to this morning, but you can go and check them out over at thebertshow.com.
Amazing.
Wow, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank
that
you,
stuff
guys.
Is
absolutely.
Powerful stuff right
thanks
there,
to
man.
Melissa for sharing it with us,
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Be tough.
Thank
totally.
You, Melissa.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.
The Bird Show.
All right, so how big a deal is this around the world? Huge.
Talking about the World Cup?
The World Cup, yeah. Huge, huge, huge. Let me give you a little indicator.
A recent survey asked fans what they'd be willing to sacrifice to see their team win the World Cup. Now, in his capacity as NBC News' political director, Chuck will say this poll does not meet our standards for proper polling procedures.
Well, first, however, it's about soccer.
Anyway, listen to this. This is good. 51% said they would be willing to starve themselves for a week. 40% said they'd forego dating for a year. 7% would give up his or her job. And get this, 4% said they would willingly sacrifice a limb to have their team win the World Cup.
Wow.
Willingly sacrifice a limb. Come on.
That's the world mentality. That's not the United States mentality. But around the world, it's that serious, y'all.
It is fascinating because I do think when the World Cup comes around, that's one of the reasons I'll check out some games, because I can't understand why the U.S. is so disjointed from it all, because you're right, it is a worldwide sport, and it seems that the only sports we get into here in the U.S. are U.S. sports. Mm-hmm. You know,
here's what I do know in the few times that I've had a chance to travel is that around the world, like when you go on vacation, when Americans go on vacation or we go to the beach or whatever, I've told this story before, you know, like I have a wheelbarrow full of toys for my kids. Okay, you want to play with the truck? That's cool. You want to play with the shovel? That's cool. I got a pail for you over here. Mm-hmm. You got a frisbee over here. You got this and that. I mean, it's crazy. Where I've traveled, the only thing they have on the beach is a soccer ball. Mm-hmm. And it's the entire family hanging out playing soccer. So since day number one, you are trained that soccer is it. And that's a major difference between us, because you mm-hmm. do have so many alternatives here.
And all of the games, like everybody gets so rowdy when they go to all the soccer games and the stadiums. And I mean, it's definitely sort of a source of national pride.
I didn't realize how big it was. I just got lucky. My wife and I traveled to Portugal a couple of years ago while the World Cup was going on, and our flight landed in Lisbon. And the day that we got there, that night, Portugal was playing England. And it was a very, very big game for both countries. And Portugal beat England. And I was in Lisbon at the time. And the party that went on after that, the explosion of excitement in that city, it didn't stop all night long. And I'm not talking about partying in a New Year's New York kind of way. Everybody's getting all drunk and stuff like that. It was grandparents, parents, kids out dancing and driving and hanging out all night. We couldn't sleep because it was so loud all night long.
Wow.
So that gives you kind of an indicator of what it's like around the world, you know? Do you guys know this guy, Andres Cantor?
Mm-mm.
You probably don't know his name, but you know his work. This is the guy that from time to time you'll hear just when a goal is scored. I think it's Univision now. Maybe it used to be Telemundo. I might have those backwards now. This is Andres Cantor. That's the real deal. No, that was a ghost from the Ghost Hunters. That's impressive right there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Woo. How long is that?
Yes. Melissa knows where we're going.
I know where we're going with this. So, okay, get the diaphragm working.
That's 21 seconds long.
No way.
Wow. 21 seconds long.
It's impressive.
Now, he's been doing it for years and years and years. We did this 4 years ago with the last World Cup to see who could hold goal the longest.
I was going
to
say, this sounds familiar.
That's where we're going.
We're going to do it again?
Yes.
Why not?
This is Andres giving you some suggestions on how to say it correctly.
Okay.
John has the ball. They give and go with Peter. Hi, I'm sportscaster Andres Cantor, and I am here to give you a few tips on how to make a great goal call. Let's get ready. You have to fill your lungs with air. Inhale once more.
It's a good thing you're not smoking anymore, Javi.
Ready? Now, have the shout come from the gut. loosen up your mouth. Cup your hand over your ear so you can have better acoustics and listen to the shout that is going to go in crescendo from low to high. Ready? Now close your eyes. Why? Imagine yourself in the penalty box. 0-0, 90th minute. The ball comes to you. You're about to score the goal of your life. Here it comes.
That's awesome.
It's a generous use of the word awesome.
Wow.
But then doesn't he do the gole, gole, gole thing
and
afterwards?
Express your true colors.
Does he do that afterwards?
What's that?
The gole, gole, gole. Like after he says it and then he yells it a bunch of times?
Sometimes he'll go, gola, 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 yeah. Gola, gola. Yeah. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on.
Does he, I mean, does he only call a certain amount of games or all the games? I'm confused.
Well, he passes out after the first goal.
Yeah, I was going to say, does he call for everyone?
No, I don't think he does.
Okay.
Well, there's not so much scoring in soccer, so he's got time to build that back up.
About once every 4 days they score a goal.
That's why it's hard to get into it for me. There's just running back and forth.
That's the beauty of it, man.
Back and forth. Just take your shirt off.
Enough foreplay. Get naked already. All right, so let's all try this and see who can hold it the longest, all right? We'll try this one time.
Okay.
All right. On the count of three.
Oh, so we're all going at the same time?
Yeah, we're all going to go at the same time.
All right,
ready?
All right, here we go.
Hang on a minute. Hold on.
And we'll see who the last standing.
So do we go on three? Okay, on go. Or three.
We're very competitive.
On go. I'll say 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
No, hold on.
Hold on. I can't stop laughing.
We're all talking and laughing. Can we just have 5 seconds to...
All right. Close your eyes, Jeff.
Feel free to play at home.
You gotta stand up.
Okay.
We are a competitive lot in here.
Hold on. I gotta put my hand over my ear. Close my eyes.
You ready?
No.
Ready now? Okay.
Wendy, you
don't start laughing.
You're not gonna. You've got tiny little lungs.
Yeah, you're out already.
Yeah, you've already lost.
Ready? Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Go!
And she's got a lot of experience holding her breath.
I nearly passed out.
I mean, you and Jen red in the face.
I do feel a little warm.
Y'all all right? You need some oxygen.
I even went up at the end. Did anybody hear me?
I heard you.
I was trying to fall and go up.
I had nothing left. Hey, Tanya, good morning. You're on the Bird Show.
Wow.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How are y'all?
Fantastic.
Ready for
winded.
Soccer.
A little winded.
We can't talk because we've been yelling goal for 30 seconds.
We're passing an inhaler around the studio, but that was great.
How are you?
Hello.
Oh.
Oh, super. That ended well.
Goodbye!
You're on The Bird Show.
This girl, the 16-year-old girl that they couldn't find up until, late last night, early morning, that's sailing?
Yeah, Abby Sunderland. She had come into the news a while ago because she's 16 years old. She's from California, and she was trying to break the world's record for solo sailing across the world. But she had had some mechanical problems early in her sailing journey, and so she's missed that window for the world record. However, she decided to go ahead and do it. Well, it was yesterday that she was somewhere in the southern Indian Ocean, and she has been staying in touch with her family via satellite phone. And so the satellite phone cut out while she's talking to her dad, and then they didn't know at the time, but two distress beacons from her boat had gone off. So they had to go search for her. And as of last night, she was missing, and they thought the worst, but it was late last night that she was found, and she was safe, and her boat was upright, and she was in the hull of the boat, and she was doing fine, and she'd manually put those beacons out.
Now, there's some subtext to this story also. Her brother at 16 or 17 years old got into the Guinness Book of World Records as the youngest sailor to sail around the world. So after he did it, another girl around the world did it and beat his record. So this 16-year-old was going to beat her record but found out a couple of weeks ago, for some reason, and I don't know all the details, she didn't qualify for that world record, but she was already prepared to go, so she said, screw it, I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, she qualified, but she had to stop and fix her radar.
And that broke.
Yeah, because it was a nonstop sale, and she had to fix the radar, so she had to. That disqualified her from the previous
record.
What
a brave kid.
See, that's what Melissa and I were talking about this morning here. That's what I was thinking, man. Like, I'm a parent, and I would not let my child do that, I got to tell you.
They're obviously a sailing family, though. I mean,
that's what I assume. Mm-hmm.
They're obviously all, like, the whole family is obviously all dedicated to this sport and to, you know, the knowledge and the challenge of it all. I think it's fascinating. I mean, at 16 years old, I was excited to, like, be able to break my curfew and stay out past 11.
Right.
Like, much less sail around the world. You've got to be kidding me.
I'm giving you courageous points for sure. It's admirable. But as the parent, if my child wanted to do that, there's no way. Would you guess?
I think it depends on what kind of parent you are. Like, you love surfing. Let's say you're a huge surfing fan and Hayden Hollis are 16 years old and they said, we want to go to Hawaii or we want to go to Australia and hit the big, big waves. Mm-hmm. And you let them do it because you love surfing, even though it's dangerous.
At 16 years old, I'd say you're not allowed on a big wave.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that it depends on the parents. It depends on what they're into.
And you have to know the skill set of your kid, too. You have to know their ability.
The skill set doesn't matter. You're 16 years into your life. Like, you don't have the experience. Like, she was in the South Indian Ocean all alone. You don't have the experience. You could be the best sailor in the world.
Well, she had enough experience to survive the storm that she went through.
That's lucky.
I think that's skill.
I say, great, sail the Catalina and back 20 times if you want.
Uh-huh.
But I guess you're right. I mean, it's all in the parenting, but not here.
I think it just absolutely depends on the family. I think it's a per family basis, like Melissa said with surfing. It could have been anybody. It could have applied to any family.
Listen, it's The Bert Show.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.